Morning, Rob. Thank you. How are you?
Maybe it's me.
Brad, can you hear me?
I know what's wrong. Okay,
yes,
we're good.
I can hear everybody.
We're good. Don't worry.
Tell Rob it says I am muted by the host.
No, you're good. You're not muted now. You're good. Congratulations. Everybody, welcome. I think everybody's on board. And you can hear me now clearly?
Yep.
And I can hear you. Well, welcome. This is fun. The Zoom has changed the world, and I think it's created an opportunity to launch us into the new digital world at a rate that none of us could have imagined. So congratulations. And today what I'd like to do is focus on what you want to get out of the program. That's the most important thing that we can start out with, is a clear understanding of, if you had a magic wand and you could get out of the program everything that you ever imagined that you could, what would those things be? So Brad, let's start with you.
Yeah, sure. So things that come to my mind, Rob, are the discipline and the consistency of offering excellent service to my clients. And then the second thing I think would be the creation of margin, more time to spend on business development, and frankly, maybe work 5 hours or 5 days a week rather than five and a half.
Okay. Dean, how about you?
I guess to be much more disciplined in the actual process of how I contact clients, give them a level of service where they wouldn't even think about leaving. And we do a good job of retention, so I'm not terribly worried about that. I'd also like to ease the servicing burden on Courtney, because she's a busy lady. She takes care of a lot of FAs. I know Barb does too. The BHAG goal would be for Brad and I to have such a good practice that it would really, as we approach high net worth and ultra high net worth people, it would be inconceivable that anybody else could do a better job than we are. And I don't mean to sound arrogant, but that we would end up being really just the logical choice for, in particular, business owners that we want to go after. Hope that's not too lofty, but.
No, that's perfect, actually. We talk about how to differentiate yourself in a crowded space. And by the way, welcome everybody else. I'm not ignoring you. I just wanted to jump right in with the energy here and get to know each other by having conversation. So. Here's the part that's the Supernova will do this for you, but you're constantly going to be challenging yourself and wondering, why do I have to do this? Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to do this? So I want you to think every time something seems like it's really hard. Supernova is simple, but not easy. But everything about Supernova is focused on what the clients want. Through surveys and anecdotal and every other way, we've determined these are the things the clients want. And by giving it to them, you're differentiating yourself in the market because most people are not willing to do the things that we do. They just aren't. Why? Because human beings are pleasure seekers and they want to do, get the most out of something with the least amount of work. All right. So, and that's rational, but it isn't what the client wants. You see, think about the people that turn something that was ordinary into something that was special. I mean, Starbucks comes to mind. When I grew up, you know, you bought a cup of coffee for 10 cents and that was it. And Schultz goes to Europe and sees lattes and all these crazy drinks and decides that he's going to convince the American people to spend $4 or $5 on a cup of coffee, which is extraordinary, right? It's a crazy, crazy idea. And yet he did it. Why? Because he created a special experience, something that tasted better than anything the Americans had ever tasted. But it was still just coffee. So serving coffee is, you know, it becomes a client experience, a respite from the crazy world, and people are willing to create a ritual around that where they spend $5 to make themselves feel good every morning. Disney did the same thing with their theme parks. I mean, because when we went to, you know, theme parks when we were kids, it was a roller coaster and a couple of rides. And Disney created a whole new experience. Why? Because he knew clients would like it, because he had seen in Europe an example of what he could build and brought that back to the United States and built Disney World. The point is that it costs a lot of money to go to Disney World. People are willing to spend the money because it's a different, unique client experience. Very hard to do what he did, but it made it unique. Mercedes creates a different client experience, and once you've owned a Mercedes, been serviced by a Mercedes dealership, drive away in a rental, you know, they give you a free rental. When you get your car serviced, it spoils you to the point where you determine in your mind that it's worth it to own that Mercedes, because they are committed to service. Now, here's one of the most important points. It doesn't matter which Mercedes you buy, you're going to get the same level of service. It doesn't matter who you are when you go to Disney World. You could be the richest person in the world or the poorest. You'd get the same client experience. All you have to do is enter the theme park and you get the experience. You go and get a cup of coffee, they treat you to the same experience. And so that's what we determined was critical to creating our brand, is that every client that was serviced by you had a similar client experience regardless of the size of the client. Okay. Now, why? Because the model that had been built, the ABCD model, was too hard to implement and could not be explained, could not be shared, and you cannot create a brand around that service experience. So what did we do? Well, first we asked the clients what they wanted, and then we determined how hard we wanted to work, how many hours we wanted to put in, and that helped us to determine how many clients we could work with and deliver this unique client experience. Because Disney will close the park when they get to a certain size. And so will we. We cannot have more than a certain number of clients. So what are those numbers? And what do the clients want? Let's start with that. when we were first starting Supernova, we had a problem with service. We're losing one client for every client that we brought in. So we had to determine what they wanted so we could keep them. But what they said they wanted was multi-generational planning and full implementation of that planning process through 12 scheduled appointments, 4 reviews, 2 of them in person, and rapid response to their problems, 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution. Let me just go over that again, because this is going to be your mantra. This is what you're going to say to every client. They're going to say, what are you doing? And you say, this is what we're doing. We're establishing a premier brand. Think of it almost like a concierge client experience, concierge medicine, concierge experience. So what we're going to give to each and every client is multi-generational planning, full implementation of that planning process through 12 scheduled appointments. 4 of those will be reviews of the plan, 2 in person. And we're going to offer rapid response to your problems, 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution. Here's the key. You ask them 1 of 2 questions. How does that sound? Or if you're prospecting, how does that compare to what you're getting now? You see? So if you're not giving it to all your clients, then you can't really advertise it. That's the credibility, your own personal credibility. In your mind, when you say every client gets this, you're not, you can't say that unless you're truthful. Okay? So when you say it, a typical client will go, wow, how are you able to do that? And you simply say, because we're limiting the number of clients that we work with. And then they'll get nervous and say, am I one of them? And you'll say yes or no. You know, at this time, we're, yes, you are. And we're very excited to have you part of this. And then you'll see an amazing transformation when you do this. They will transform themselves from being maybe even arrogant to being ready to do whatever you tell them to do. They become better clients once they know that you've made a cut in your practice, that you've cut your practice down to size. And they've made the cut. They're very thankful, but they don't want to make a change. It's annoying and hard for them. And they like you. But sometimes they're not well trained. And so much of this is training. Much of this is client training. We'll talk about client training a lot. Just like we're going to need to get trained, we need to train them along with us. So, and for the clients that we're not going to keep, we're not going to be arrogant about it. We're going to basically tell them at this time, we have someone that we're going to assign you to, that we trust, that we've worked with for a long time, and they're highly capable of taking care of you, and you're going to make that transfer right away. And you reassign them immediately to that other person. Now, here's the difference between that model, which was our original model, and what we're building today is just much more detail on it. It makes every part of the client experience better. And you're just going to say, wow, that's hard work. Yes, again, everything that you do that's hard differentiates you from the competition. Makes you, makes them go, I can't do that. And you go, yes, we'll do that. All right, so from the plan comes an agenda. We all know that. We can never get everything done when we do a financial plan, especially if it's a high net worth client or ultra high net worth client. There's a whole list that comes out of that plan, the things that need to be done, particularly in estate planning and, you know, asset management, liability management, risk management, et cetera. So we create an agenda. So think of it as we're on a board And we're the chief financial officer. The client is the CEO of the board of the corporation. And what we do is we make the client prepared for every meeting. And the client ultimately has a decision to make as to what they're going to agree to and what they're not going to agree to. So you've got your agenda, and then you've got the recommendations. And then with those recommendations is action steps, and that's by we have timeline, and we have most of them would be immediate, but some would be the client would be responsible for following up. And so that appears on the agenda initially and then on the executive summary when it's agreed to. So the agenda becomes an executive summary post-meeting, like the minutes of a board meeting. And the responsibility for each person comes out of that. And you say, you're going to do that for every monthly meeting. Yes. You see, what we've done is we've transitioned our practice from a practice of asset management to a practice of almost a family office. So we've become almost a life coach for the client to take care of them and their family. So we can't have 500 clients doing this. Once they see that executive summary, they're spoiled for life because they don't have to then remember everything that you eliminate all the compliance issues also. No I say, you say, no question as to whether or not the information was disclosed, notes are taken, so all the regulation, BI is taken care of through the financial planning, the regular client contact, the executive summary, et cetera. So it's the ideal world for a compliance officer, and therefore it's the ideal world for you because all it takes is one case against you to make your life annoying and inconvenient. So questions on the basic structure of, and then we, of course, we have a scheduler to help you schedule these 12-4-2s because 12-4-2 by its very nature is with our calendar, it's difficult to do because we can't have more than, if we have 100 clients, which is typically what the financial advisors can handle. If they want to work an 8-hour day, you want to work a, you know, Brad, you said you want to work a five, you know, you don't want to work an 8.5-hour day. You want to work an 8-hour day or a 5-day week, not a 5.5-day week. That's 100 clients. And that would mean each day there would be there'd be five contacts with clients. Five. One would be an in-person meeting. One would be a review of the, on the phone. And with today's technology, these can be Zoom meetings. I think I've come a long way in terms of, I think it's wonderful if you can meet people in person, but this virus has made this very acceptable by most people. And the efficiency is extraordinary. Saving clients 3 hours, 4 hours, you too, you know, because we want the clients to come in and that's a 3-hour experience for them. Now, does that mean that you shouldn't meet them and have lunch and have dinners? And of course you should when things ease up, but I think we can be more efficient and productive by having things like Zoom. So anyway, I've talked enough. Let me open it up and ask questions about the scheduler or the anything else.
So Rob, one of the questions that I wanted to ask you, especially with regard to planning, you know, I we've always made planning a focal point of our practice. And certainly with Reg BI coming up, I think it's more important than it's ever been at any point in time in my career. I have two types of clients, though, that I'd like to talk to you about. So what about the retiree who has who knows they have enough assets? There's no way they're going to run out of assets.
Right.
And who just says, Brad, I'm not going to plan. I'm not going to spend my time developing a financial plan. I don't need it. I don't want it. Would you still accept them as a client? I mean, I assume that you would.
Well, that's a really good question. And Brad, there's the $500,000 rollover that's never going to have more or less and virtually nothing to do. But let's just say that your minimum is $1 million and your average client is $2.5 million. The person with $2.5 million has got some issues. And they need your help. And they don't know they need your help. Many of them have grandchildren. Many of them have children. And, you know, I can't even believe I'm saying this. I'm 74 and I'm still a parent to my 44-year-old daughter, ready to come to the rescue at any time if she needs me, right? In any way. And we all are parents, and we nod and we go, yeah, you're never not a parent. You're always a parent. And so we'd do anything for our children, anything for our grandchildren. And that can be, you know, in the form of a securitized loan so that she doesn't have to go through the mortgage process, or I don't have to explain to you, you know, all the advantages of financial planning for estate planning. Even if it's not, even if there's not a tax involved, there's still good financial planning. And to avoid probate and.
Hey, Rob, let me clarify my question if I could. So, I mean, I agree with you. When I ask about a client who refuses to do a formal financial plan in the Morgan Stanley system, we call that LifeU.
Right.
Or we have a lighter version called GPS.
Correct.
And so, as a matter of practice with the clients that I would keep, you know, we talk about estate planning. We review the IRA beneficiary designations. We talk about long-term care, insurance and so on. So those things, those conversations are happening. But I just mean the client who says, I am not going to fill out the paperwork to do a formal plan.
Yeah. I mean, I think, Brad, you're coming down to, to an edge that you're probably not going to have very often, okay? I think what we're going to ask you to do is to go through and you determine who are the people you want to keep, okay? I mean, just think about it. You're going to create a perfect practice of, 80 to 100 clients. And those are your ideal people. And the question is, would that person fit into that 80 to 100 people where he won't listen, doesn't take your advice, and likes you but doesn't value that part of what you do? That's where you determine. You know, I can, on the back of an envelope, do a financial plan for him, and he's not going to know it, but I'm going to ask all the questions. I'm going to get all the information. I'm going to do it for him. And that's one way to solve the issue. And the other is to simply say, you know what, if he's not willing to trust me and value what I offer, then he's probably better off with somebody else. Okay?
Yes.
So that's where we kind of, when George Kemp first did this and came to me and said, look, Rob, I did 300 financial plans on my 600 clients. And I have no time to implement them. And I didn't come in the business to basically be a stockbroker. I came in because I love this idea of financial planning, and I love the idea of really helping people. How am I going to be able to do this? And I said, George, the only way you can do it is to get less, at that time, less than 200 clients. And he said, okay, let me do some work on that. And he went back and he put together 11 different screens to determine who really were the clients that he wanted to keep. And just for fun, he put all, he wanted to see who would pass all 11 screens. Well, out of the 650 clients, I always ask this question on the stage, how many do you think went through, made it through? And the answer was 33. Well, George, being the engineer and kind of entrepreneur that he was, he decided that he was going to do an experiment and just keep the 33 clients. And he got rid of the other 620 clients. And he ended up doing in-depth financial plans with each one of them, enjoying his life, doubling his business. And he said, I wouldn't have been able to do it conscientiously if I didn't believe I could bring in new business. But he said the burden of having all those clients was not something that I wanted to do. So he was the first of my pioneers in Supernova. And the bonus was that he doubled his business. Now think about that, right? I mean, it's just so strange. Get down to that core and then double your business. But he was able to spend not just 12-4-2, but he spent a full day with each client doing family planning, visiting their business, consulting with them on their businesses, and really adding some value. And then obviously became incredibly referable, and then allowed him to grow. Now, then of course we went out and we expanded it to my office and we did 50, pioneers throughout my market. And, that had the same results. And so then we rolled Supernova out to the whole country. It's a lot more complicated than that, but that basically was it. And so, you know, it's no different really. We bring the formalization to the process, but the private banking, high net worth, model that's been created throughout the industry where they have between 20 and 50 clients is very similar for people with, you know, net worths of more than say $20 million. And that becomes very attractive to those people because they need that much more attention. But I can, and I've coached all those people and they don't know any more than you know. Okay. They have more process and they prepare amazingly well, for each appointment. And that's one of the reasons that we prepare so well for each appointment, because I saw what that meant and how well it was received by the clients. So this model will allow you then to go into that space and work comfortably. We used to say, yeah, an FA can get a $50 million client, but it'll never keep them. Today, I think that's a ridiculous statement. I think if you're doing Supernova, you'll keep a $50 million client or a $100 million client. I don't think you have to genuflect for anybody else if you do Supernova. If you don't, then you're just, you know, it's everything is too risky. Does that make sense?
With you.
Okay. All right. So the first assignment is hard, but we're going to make it. Here's what people typically do when they try and segment their practice. They go to the bottom and they try and cut clients out. We're not going to do that. We're going to go to the top. We're going to figure out who we want to keep. Now, people say, well, where do I send the other ones? That's up to you. And we'll talk about it. I'll answer questions on it. But that's not the issue. The issue is how are we going to keep the top 100 so we never lose one of them? And that's what we're focused on. So what you want to do is draw a line at 100, and you can use, you know, different screens for that, revenues, assets, profitability, etc. And look at those clients and then look below there and see if there's anyone in the above 100 that's a CEO of a company and makes, you know, is going to be a multi-million dollar client for you in the future. And then look at the ones within the 100 and say, you know what, this guy never listens to me. He's a jerk. He treats my people poorly. I want to be rid of him. All right. Now we're going to, at the same time, there's three phases of Supernova: segmentation, organization, and acquisition. We used to, when we first started, all we did was work on segmentation. But what we found was there was so much organization and acquisition content that we needed to cover that we didn't do it until the end, and then it became difficult to execute. So now we think of it as three swimmers in the water, all at the same time. Excuse me. So there's three swimmers in the pool: segmentation, organization, and acquisition. So they'll be swimming every week. All right, so we're going to do work on segmentation, we're going to do work on organization, and we're going to do work on acquisition every week. So while you're looking at your top 100, I want you to go through that, and you can go as far down as you feel comfortable, but you should do at least 20 or 30 clients, and tell me where they came from. This is to identify your natural niches, centers of influence, and other things that are already built in, and just to raise your awareness, okay? So that will help me to help you become better at acquisition, because oftentimes where we have a niche, we don't develop the center of influence inside the niche. We don't spend enough time with our centers of influence, and we don't do it formally. And there's other things that we'll learn from where those clients came from. In terms of organization, we should get started right away in terms of learning, having a schedule set with Cindy, with Barbara, Courtney, your team, on how to set up the schedules for your clients. We want to begin that right away. Now, we have an issue with our folders because we're not working in our offices. So that's up to you how you want to do the folders. I think we should learn how to use them, and we need to know what's in the content of each folder. Because they're critical acquisition strategies that come out of the use of folders. So the folders look like this. This is my folder for you guys, right? So each folder has got six sections. There's six different places for information, and there's a very specific reason that we have each piece of the folder. And you're going to give a folder to each client, and the client will then take notes in there, and we'll have, that'll be a place for the agenda for them, and the client will, when you send them the agenda, you'll always put at the bottom, you know, John, if you'd like to add something to this month's agenda, please return it, and we'll be sure to include it. So the client feels heard, and they can then prepare because they see the agenda. So they're prepared, you're prepared, and there's no phone tag, there's no surprises, you're not waking him up, you know, in the middle of a nap or while he's playing golf or while he's in surgery to talk to him about his portfolio. He's prepared or she's prepared. So when you think about it, it's crazy that we ever operated without appointments, because it's just kind of rude, to think that they're just sitting there waiting for us to call. So the whole process is much more rational. And so that's segmentation, organization, and acquisition. Now, to finish up on segmentation, what we need from you is this week is for you guys to determine what your minimum is and what the maximum number of clients that you want to have. Okay, now we have two. We used to just do that, the min and the max. Now we have what we call absolute minimum and target minimum. And the reason we do that is because of the psychological issue of turning people down. So let's just theoretically say that your absolute minimum is 1 million. Your target minimum, which is the top 25% of your practice or 20% of your practice, would probably be based on $1 million absolute minimum would be, and this would be a typical $1 million producer, would have a $2.5 million target. So why do I say target? Well, if you had a magic wand and could bring in only certain clients, you'd always pick clients that would represent the top 20% of your practice. You wouldn't bring in average clients. And the million represents an average client. That's the average of your practice. So when you advertise what your minimum is, you always advertise to CPAs, attorneys, centers of influence, everybody, what your target minimum is. And so they say, I know your target minimum is 2.5 million, but will you take someone with 1.5 million? And you go, yes. Zoom bomb. Awesome. Will you take somebody with 1.5 million? And you go, under the circumstances, yes, we will. Okay. But if they come with 800,000, you'll say, unless it's the CEO and he's got options coming due within, 18 months, you're going to say, sorry. Okay.
Let me ask a question on that, if I may. With regards to the target minimum, you mentioned that it would be the average of the top 20 clients.
Yep.
I'm a little bit concerned about that in this sense. My top four clients comprise 35% of my assets under management. So there's a real skew there. So if I do the average of my top 20 clients is $5.2 million.
Yep.
I'm not sure I want to, I guess I could make it a target, but it seems to me that there's going to be quite a difference between my target and my absolute minimum. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, what would your average be, do you think?
Are we talking the average of what the 100 I would keep or?
Yeah.
Well, hold on. I can tell you that in just a second.
It might not be as big as you think.
Hey, Brad, I've lost access to the video, but I'm still on the phone.
Okay. Okay, it looks like the, hang on a second. Sorry, I'm having a problem with Excel. I'd want to verify this. It looks like the average is going to be 1.21 for the top 100.
1.21? Yeah. Okay, so you're right. Now the question is, what do you want your practice to look like?
Well, in terms of client acquisition, what Dina and I have kind of settled on is we want to go after the business owner, and in particular, Christians who own businesses. That's representative of some of my top clients, but it's not necessarily representative of my overall client base.
You have a, you can, Brad, you could do a couple things. One, you could eliminate those four and see what it looks like. Okay. Or you can just say, my target is 5 million. My absolute minimum is 1 million. And just, you've got a big spread. That's all. And you know, that's a little larger spread than I've seen, but it doesn't really, I mean, a business owner sells his business, you know, after taxes, it could be 5 million. Right, that's a pretty nice target. That's, you know, and we can talk about creating, you know, opportunities to generate that, mastermind groups and all that. But no, I don't think. Now, one of the challenges that I'd challenge you guys to do is to think in terms of yourself being already a team and having one minimum and one target minimum. So, Dean, what would yours be?
You're talking my target minimum or both?
Yeah. I mean, what would your absolute minimum and your target minimum? You don't have to do it now if you don't.
Hold on. I got three people trying to call me.
All right. Let's – this is your homework, okay? So you guys work this. This is where brainstorming and negotiation and all the rest comes in. You know, what do we want to build as a practice? What do we want, you know, if we did this and we actually achieved it, is this the practice we want?
Yeah, I think if I can interrupt, I think that's the crux of the issue. We're going to, as we discussed, but for Courtney and Barb's benefit, this is a pretty unique structure we're looking at where my Illinois clients will remain in Illinois even after Brad retires, and although I will be taking over his clients in Indianapolis, so that's one thing. You know, I think Courtney rightly is concerned, and it's been lack of communication on my part that hasn't been driven home. So as far as going forward, the new clients Brad and I bring on, I would like to have, and I think Brad would agree, a little bit higher minimums.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid to go north of average on those things.
Right. And that's really what we're talking about. We're talking about new clients coming on. What's our entrance fee here?
Yeah. I think that's important because we can't clog the system up with many more $300,000-$500,000 clients. We just don't have time for that.
Right. And that, you know, when you said that, when we first talked, I said, you're ready. I mean, this is where your mind has to be. You've got to be like, okay, we've got a new mission and we're not, it's when a doctor decides he's going to create a, you know, go from 5,000 patients down to 200. It's just when they get fed up, you know, they just say, I can't do that anymore. It's no fun. I'm going crazy. I'm aging and it's not worth it. I'm not going to make any, I'm going to make more money. And I'm going to do a better job for my clients. And I did the other. Let the young guys do that crazy stuff. You know, and that's what you guys need to, you know, have that same mentality. Let the young guys handle all these hundreds of accounts. And that's part of, you know, where do we send these? You know, they're important people. They brought you to the party. You don't want to just throw them away. So, you know, what are we going to do with them? How are we going to take care of them? And then what's the cost associated with doing that? Does that mean we use other financial advisors? We bring somebody onto the team? How do we do that? And so that's what I want you to be thinking about. because, you know, we want to make some decisions here. Okay, so that's the homework. It's and it moves pretty fast. But you know, this is customized for you. So we want to move quickly, but make sure you're on board and you get it all the whole time. That's why I wanted to take some time just to go through. Typically we'll take a half an hour. Just so you know the structure, and I'm sure you do, but let me just go back through it. These sessions will last, they're half hour sessions, they'll last for 12 weeks. You'll watch a video of me teaching the material. You have a workbook, a PDF that was sent to you. In the workbook will be homework. We just redid the workbook, so it's very current. When we say there's homework, that's the homework. It is, it's in there. And the more you do that and the more you stick with it and the more you meet in between and are prepared, the more you'll get out of this. So you guys want to do a Zoom call in the middle of the week talking about Supernova. What are we doing? How are we doing it? How are we keeping up? Have we got our jobs done? And then you are all great about getting on the call early. Great. That's terrific. And then we want to just be as productive as we can, because you'll get out of this what you put in. But the leverage of having the videos saves me time from going through and explaining everything as I did today. But I just wanted to establish the rationale and have you hear it from me, not knowing if you had or had not watched all the videos. So I will give you a pass for today, but from now on, let's make sure we watch the videos and do the homework and then are prepared for each of the calls. Then it makes it good for you, good for me, and everybody's on board.
So okay. Rob, quick question. So for the next call, next Monday, we are this week doing the week one assignment in the PDF.
Correct. That's right. Min max. Right, top 100, where'd they come from? Okay. All right.
All
right. You'll like it. It's a lot. This is a tremendous amount of content. If you want to be a superstar, get the Supernova Multiplier and read that. That I wrote the Supernova Advisor, which was the first book, and then I just finished about a year ago the Supernova Multiplier. And that has got all the updated content and will have everything to do with acquisition. When you talk about different acquisition strategies, growing your practice, there'll be examples, real content examples of people that have used the techniques and been successful. So that goes perfectly with this training program. Okay. Great. All right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you signing up. Look forward to working with you.
Thank you, Rob.
Bye-bye. Bye.